This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. It's great to be here with my boys. It's Friday. I think everybody's spirits are high because I got a great night's sleep. I slept right to the alarm. Lately I've been doing that a little bit more, and it's good because you know you got a pretty good night's sleep, but I woke up in like a panic when the alarm goes off. I usually wake up at 1, go back to sleep till 2, wake up at 3, right to that alarm this morning. Just freaked me out, but I'm here. I feel great. I'm Woodsy, by the way. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing very well. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
Good morning. Question for both of you. I've never asked you this before.
9 inches.
Oh. Do you use an alarm clock or phone. Your iPhone?
Phone.
All right, now which...
Also, I'm married to one. I'm married to an alarm clock. So,
which... I actually use two. We have an actual alarm clock. It's a smart alarm clock.
Okay. Yeah. Which tone or do you use music?
I use the... it's like the cascading thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I got Radar as mine.
Radar. How do I find it?
I'll play it. Go to alarms.
Clock and alarms.
Clock.
And then
alarms.
Click one and then hit sound.
Click one.
Oh, no. I do radial, I think.
It's radial is mine, too. No way.
You guys. Radial.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's us. We have the same one. Dude, that's actually kind of trippy.
I do the same one.
That makes me insane.
That one drives me crazy.
Boogie bing, boogie, boogie bingo.
Because that's...
Boogie bong, down the bottom.
That is my ringtone. And I wake up a lot more alertly if I think it's a phone call coming in than a different alarm.
That's true.
It's totally by design.
This is gentle and like almost kind of soothing.
I went through like the other week because thinking there must be one better because I'm getting tired of this one. And I went through every single other
they
one.
They all suck.
And they're all terrible.
Terrible.
They're all terrible. The radio, it's the only one that I feel like doesn't wake me up in a panic when I hear it.
Yeah, it's... What is that instrument on that? Is it like a xylophone or like marimbas or something?
It says marimba.
Marimba?
Yeah.
It makes me insane. I can't stand it. I don't have a ringtone. I have no ringtone.
It's only buzz.
I don't even have buzz.
I hate that. I do. I do too.
You see what I'm saying though? Like it's the same sound.
As your phone.
Forget what the sound actually is. I made it the same though as my ringtone because now it's like... Oh, crap. Did I oversleep? Is somebody calling me? Where you at?
Woods, get your ass up.
Where
good
the
in here.
For you?
It's weird, though. That is weird, Ben, that you and I, out of all the...
Well, it is the default selection, so that means
it is?
Neither of us have decided to change
thought,
it off the default.
I thought Paulie's was.
I don't know. Mine says default radial.
I think you said it as your...
As my default, maybe?
Yeah. Anyway. I feel great. Slept right up to it and feel fantastic. Got a great weekend planned ahead, too. Happy Father's Day weekend to all of the fathers out there. All the dads out there. Want to give a shout-out to my dad, one of the biggest tier ones I know, Gary Woods. Pops, I love you. Happy Father's Day. You are truly, truly the GOAT and have provided me... Not only a really, really great life, but so much content. I mean, pounds and loads of content my dad is responsible for. Some of my favorite content. My dad is amazing. So happy Father's Day to you. Thanks for being the example for me. And I love you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to my dad, Steve Higgins.
Chief.
As all the grandkids call him. He is...
the fastest golfer in the world.
Yes, he is. He is.
You're 8 feet. Pick it up. Are you sure?
That's good.
That's for birdie? That's good.
I don't think you can really express how wonderful it is to have someone that is so dependable that you know no matter what happens, he's there. He's like, he's the backstop. He's got
100%.
You. You know, if something bad happens, he'll step in and he'll fix it.
Yeah.
You know, so just solid. Absolutely, every single day of my life that I have known him, always there, you know, whether from Little League, throwing hundreds of pitches of BP every day, just dependable right down the middle. I think maybe like out of the, I don't know, growing up, 15 to 30,000 pitches he threw me, I think he hit me once.
Oh, I hit Bo all the time.
See, that's it. He never hit me. Yeah. And if I did, I probably wouldn't have wanted to play baseball anymore.
Well, he knew. I can't hit this guy.
He was solid.
I can't hit this dude. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Paulie, don't make it uncomfortable. I'm begging you.
Wanted to wish both of your dads a happy Father's Day as well, because I don't have anyone else.
Every year I have to do it. I have to say happy Father's Day to my dad and all the other dads. Happy Father's Day to you, Ben.
Of course. This weekend, we just call it Sunday at my house.
Paulie lives in a matriarchal society.
Yes.
Can I give you a special exemption?
I'm surrounded by women, female dogs.
Yes, I was going to give you a special exemption. I will allow it. If you want to celebrate Sunday, you being a dog dad, I'm going to allow you and only you are the only one that I give a special. If I see a post from Megan,
I'm gonna dog dad the S out of this weekend.
If I see a post from Megan, I'm not going to get upset. I give you, it is so decreed in San Diego, Paulie is the only one that gets to celebrate being a dog dad. I won't feel offended. Okay, he gets a special exemption.
I more so like posting pictures every year on Father's Day with me, and like I've posted a picture with me and Steve Fisher.
Yes, I love that.
I've posted a picture of me and Randy Jones.
I love that bit. Dude, I do. It makes me laugh every year.
Perhaps Mike Schultz would like to be your dad for the day. We'll have him on later today.
Hey, boy. Man, well, to all the dads out there, listen, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're doing enough. Sometimes you feel like you're doing too much. I overdad way too much. I mean, I got to check myself and go, hey man, relax. Just relax. You don't need to be such a dad right now. And it's hard. I've really been going through that lately. That's been a thing recently.
See, now I worry I'm more under dad at this point.
See, I'm an over dad.
They're solid. They're older. And I feel like, should I be stepping in more, or should I let them fly?
It's such a hard thing that dads have to, it's the needle you got to thread, right? I mean, it's just a very tough thing. And for me, I feel like when I let them fly at their young age, Ben, I'm like, well, now am I just being neglectful? Am I neglecting them? But then I get overbearing sometimes about, you know, do this and do that and make sure to sit down. Let's give a lesson here. And I'm like, all right, man, stop overdadding. Let the game come to you a little bit, but I am, you know, being a father is my greatest joy. It's my greatest joy that I've ever had. I love it so much, and my boys are awesome, and I know they're gonna make it a special day for me just by, you know, me waking up that day. So to all the Tier 1 dads out there, I love you. I'm thinking about you. To those of you that have lost your dads this year, our friend Dominic in the chat, first Father's Day without him. Ugh. You know, I know it's an awful day. It's going to gut me when it happens to me. It's going to be very, very difficult. So our hearts are with you. We love you, and we're thinking about you.
My wife's late father, he passed away July 10th.
Oof.
And his birthday is like always a week after Father's Day. So like Father's Day to mid-July is just kind of a fog. It's a rough patch. Every year.
Every single year. Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy in our house either with my wife losing her her father. And so, yeah, it's a tough one, man. So listen, I wanted to also take a moment to, there's a reason I did this second edition of our mental health group called The Work that I put together. There's a reason I did it tomorrow. I wanted it to be this weekend, and because I think, you know, there's a lot of dads out there that need help and are afraid to ask for it, or they're embarrassed to ask for it, or whatever. So we're going to be doing it again, just a little men's group that we put together, and it's called The Work because it is work. It's a place you can come, share, listen, don't share, whatever. It's going to be at the Sanctuary by the Lost Abbey. It's going to be tomorrow at 11 a.m., 1215 San Alejo Road in San Marcos, the Sanctuary by the Lost Abbey, and 11 a.m. tomorrow. Hope to see you guys there. Come on out and share, meet some friends, people that are going through it too. Like I said, man, I've been white-knuckling it a little bit lately, so I'm looking forward to it, going in and trying to get a little vulnerable with the fellas. And I know so many men are, you know, like I said, embarrassed to come in and say, hey, man, I got problems. You know, things aren't going great for me. And I'm one of them, raising my hand here. So tomorrow, 11 a.m., the Sanctuary by the Lost Abbey. Plenty of parking. great venue. Come in, sit down and chill. Now, there's no frills. There's no bagels, coffee. If you want something, bring it yourself. It's BYOL, liquid. And you BYOD, bring your own donuts. BWD, bring Woods donuts, whatever you want. But we'd love to see you guys tomorrow at 11 a.m.
I think there is a, especially if you are a dad, there's a certain pressure to not show things are wrong because you always feel like you have to be the dependable one.
100%.
I certainly feel like I have to be, you know, the dependable one for my kids and my family. So when you let that weakness creep in, I think it can be fairly devastating. Like
Big time now
I'm letting everyone down. It's not just me I'm letting down. Yeah. I'm letting everybody down if I'm not, you know, 100%. And that's a lot of pressure for anybody to have to deal with.
Yeah, no doubt. And so many men have been taught over the years to, hey, dude, you're a P word if you're upset. You know, you're a guy yesterday in the chat said you're a pansy. And I said, yeah, absolutely, 100%. It's like I said in the first meeting. If I break my leg, like somebody said, well, everyone uses therapy as a crutch. And I said, 100%. If I break my leg, give me a crutch. My leg is broken. Give me two crutches. And I'm going to crutch around till my leg is healed. That's absolutely a crutch. It's not a bad thing. Walking around with a broken leg doesn't make you a tough guy. Kind of makes you an idiot. So walking around with a broken heart, broken brain, broken feelings, whatever. Also, it doesn't have to be that way. Get the crutch. Use the crutch. Make your life a little bit easier. Make your life a little bit better. And as you heal, then you can get rid of the crutch, so to speak. So that's kind of my point. Very, very, it's weird to always say I'm excited because it's a serious thing, but I'm looking forward to getting in there tomorrow at 11.
That's a good analogy that you just
made.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's true. It's absolutely true.
Why would anyone think it's weird if someone broke their leg that they would use something to help them get around?
You would think it was weird if, like, hey, buddy, what happened? Oh, I broke my leg.
You're just hopping around.
Why are you hopping around?
I can't show any weakness. I can't get any help.
I'm not going to use a crutch. I'm not a pee, dude. Come on. Like, well, no, please get a crutch. You're going to make it.
I'm just going to hop around on one foot for the next six weeks.
It's not going to make it better. Like, it's not going to make it better at all. It's going to make it worse.
I was reading an article. I think it was Rolling Stone. Anyway, big publication. And they were interviewing Seth Rogen about his new show, The Studio.
Oh,
and they
talked.
Fantastic.
It's so good.
It was really, really funny. But they were asking him about his life. And look, that man is kind of the poster boy for, well,
ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
Indeed.
But I thought the way he talked about it was fascinating. He said because he uses it, and him and his friends and everybody that he knows, they use it because it helps their mental well-being.
Sure.
It keeps them locked in. It keeps them sane. And he goes, it's a crutch for sure. But like any other part of our bodies, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people's feet hurt. So we did something about it.
We made shoes.
But yet, when somebody finds something that helps their brain, people have a problem with
it. Yeah, it's
and
true.
And I go, God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a drug. It can be therapy.
Right.
It can be talking, whatever. But like, yeah, all of a sudden, when you get something that helps your mental, your brain, people have a problem with that.
Yeah, helps you feel semi-normal, able to adapt to society, whatever.
You can't think your way to heal a broken arm.
Correct.
Like, if you were just a little mentally stronger,
if I was tougher,
your arm would heal. Why do you think you can just think your way to, you know, fix head? It takes time
to
heal, like anything takes time.
It does.
It takes some work, and eventually, you know, you go through rehab for a pulled muscle or whatever, and then it eventually gets better when you go through the rehab. That's what this is for your brain. You go through a little rehab, then maybe you're feeling good for a while. And then, you know, something else happens and you get a little injury and you treat it and you deal with it and you get some help. And then hopefully, you know, feeling good again for a while.
Well, it's kind of cool, too, because there's a lot of people that are in there that came last time that they're good. They're good. And I want you guys, too, because I want some tools. I want to know some tools. I want to know what you're using to not snap at your kids or snap at your wife or be, you know, ungrateful or whatever. Like, what are you doing to get through the day? So I'm looking forward to it, man. I like the fellowship aspect of it. And so many guys out there need some help. So I'm happy to be there. Looking forward to it. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, the Sanctuary at Lost Abbey. Beautiful spot. Thank you again to Tommy from Lost Abbey for generously opening up early and letting us come in and invade his space. It's incredible.
How was the fair yesterday?
So I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go.
Well, again, it was one of those things, man. God bless my wife, I walked in from my workout, and I was just, she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I go, she goes, hi, babe. I go, hi. And she goes, she looked at me, and I go, do I have to go to the fair? She goes, no. Just like that. And I said, thank you so much.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much. And so she got the kids, she split, and I was like, oh, so I had a couple hours to myself. It was great. We've been grinding pretty hard this week.
I can't tell you, growing up here, you drive by Del Mar, and you see all the lights and the rides, and it makes me kind of feel good, nostalgic. And then the fair starts, and traffic. I'm trying to get home from work last night. And did everybody in San Diego go see Foreigner last night? Like every single person in San Diego? Because, my God, the five was crowded, and I realized it's going to be like this for the next 2 or 3 months, yeah. Isn't it? San Diego in the summer, it's the traffic gets really, really bad.
It was urgent that you got home, and you were hot-blooded from sitting in traffic.
I had a member stream. I was trying to get home. I go, oh, what's this going to be, man? I'm going to be late.
I was not. I was not going to be mad. I don't care.
I forget every summer, like, okay, yeah.
We got to
deal with this. I mean, the weather's getting nice, and you're getting happy, and then you look at the five and go, oh, yeah, everybody from the rest of the country. All of Arizona is now here. Thank you. Welcome, Arizona, to San Diego for the next 3 months. Welcome, Nevada.
Yeah, good to have you guys here.
12 degrees. It's good to have you.
No, my wife did take the kids with our friend. And the other, I found out. But we had dinner last night when they got home. And I said to Bo quietly, I go, hey, did Jackson's dad come? He goes, no. I go, all right, good. So I wasn't like the deadbeat dad that didn't show up. So it was the other dad had to work too. So my work was laying in bed.
Speaking of traffic, a little load management underway for Kelly Danick,
yes,
and Vicky Pepper. Ooh, so we've got for the first time ever, we're dipping into the, I don't know if we're calling someone up from the minor leagues.
Maybe.
Or how this works for our traffic report.
I actually don't know what market she's in.
I have no idea. This is new. So we're going to set the menu for the program after we get a look at the early Friday morning traffic from Sue Eller here on 97.3 The Fan. Take it away,
from
Sue.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is brought to you by Park 101 Multi-Level Sports Bar and Restaurant at the Carlsbad Village.
Did Sue not come
through?
Good
morning. We made it to Friday.
No, we did. It's Kelly. What happened to all the...
I don't know. It's even labeled for June 13th, 6:15 a.m.
What happened to the entire email thread about Kelly's off today and we've got Vicky's off today and we've got Sue doing traffic? They went to a lot of trouble. And then that was Kelly. We'll go ahead and play
it, and we'll see if it's accurate.
I already got rid of it.
Oh, all right. Well, it sounded like it was Friday morning. She said we got to Friday. It's Friday morning. She's here. She's doing traffic.
Right, hang on. Paulie's going to... He's digging deep. In the
reload it.
Reload.
Let's try. I was excited. I was intrigued.
Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego.
Smooth as silk.
So, is this like a Bob Melvin Juan Soto situation? Like Bob's like, you got to take a day off, and
she's like, I'm not doing it.
I can explain this.
Okay,
I'll wear it. I suppose a little bit. The original email does say I'm taking the afternoon.
Got it. Morning. She's posting in the morning.
However, okay. I don't know why I was like only the only one on there. Like when Adam,
you're like, great,
up,
thanks for telling me.
But he probably wondered if I had like some production files or something. But I figured when he sent it, when he replied to Kelly and only added me on there, I'm like, oh, she's off in the morning, obviously.
Yep. Obviously. Well, today is also Friday the 13th, Benjamin. So spooky things abound. Hopefully not in Arizona. Hopefully everything goes according to plan.
Well, it's also Friday the 13th for the Diamondbacks.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
And everybody else.
And everybody
on
else.
On planet Earth.
Do you get nervous on Friday the 13th?
No.
Did you like the movies when you were a kid?
I think I may have seen two of them.
Was that...
I wasn't big on going to all the horror movies.
Was that Jason Voorhees that was in
Friday
the 13th?
Jason, yeah.
And then Halloween was Michael Myers. Which one was scarier? Michael Myers, for me.
I think so.
Escape mental patient? I'm like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Hockey mask.
Hockey mask?
Yeah.
No, that was Friday the 13th.
That was Friday the 13th.
He had that white, terrifying... Michael Myers had the white, terrifying mask. But yeah, Friday the 13th, I'll be honest with you. I liked the movies when I was a kid because there were boobs in it. And I knew I could watch it, be scared, and also there were boobs in, I think, almost every one.
That became a thing with horror movies.
Ah! yeah, hey, you know what? This is a pretty scary place.
Before we chop her head off.
Hang on, real quick. This is a really scary lake house we're in. What do you say we go out in the middle of the woods in the dark and make out? Just out in the middle. It's midnight. Right. Let's go out into the middle of the woods and we'll make out. You take your top off and we'll
see what happens.
See what happens out there. In the middle of the night. This is already scary. We're already seeing a couple of things that are creepy out here. Let's go ahead and get out to the leaves.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. Take your top off and we'll get after it right here. Hopefully nobody comes and murders us and hacks us in half. And that's exactly what happened on those movies. You know, my parents did. I'd have to watch them at friends' house because they didn't really like horror movies either. Thank God, because you know, you guys keeping me from those horror movies really led me to a nice, easy life, free of anything. But it was, yeah, I loved those movies because, well, that reason.
I think parents keep the kids from horror movies for selfish reasons.
Yeah, because they don't want them up and scared in the middle of the night. And, can I sleep with you?
Exactly.
I can't sleep at nightmare. That's exactly right. It's not for the kids. It's for you.
It's for
you. Be honest about it.
You don't want to be disturbed at 1 a.m. when
you're right.
Your kid's having a panic attack after it's a bad dream.
That's exactly right.
All right, here's what we got coming up on a Friar Friday, although our first guest is a non-Friar guest. Darren Smith's going to check in. The SDFC squad gets back to MLS play tomorrow at Minnesota. Haven't really gotten an update so far this week, so Darren will let us know what's going on injury-wise, lineup-wise.
I want to ask him about U.S. men's national team because I know he's got some thoughts there.
Disastrous.
He's got to be losing his mind.
Yep. And then Mike Shildt, the skipper, will join us at 9 o'clock on a Friar Friday. We'll rehash the Dodgers series, get you ready for the Diamondbacks this weekend, and, of course, another four games against the Dodgers.
Well, there was something we were going to ask him. His favorite rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So
or just his favorite movie.
What do you think his favorite movie is? Like even genre, like is he
he likes The Natural.
I was gonna say
he likes Training Day.
The Hunt for Red October.
The Hunt for Red October. Crimson Tide loves it.
I think so.
Loves Crimson Tide. Like,
there's gonna be some Clint Eastwood in there.
100%. I like Good, Bad, and Ugly.
Y'all ever seen Dirty Harry?
Yeah. All right. This is the kind of interview I want to do with him. I just want to ask him about all the stuff he likes so I can get to know him better. But people will get mad if I do that.
Then it's been...
Who's his favorite left fielder, CR7?
It's been since last season, I think. But we're going to welcome back a friend. He was a weekly or bi-weekly guest last year. Jordan Schusterman is going to be with us. We'll talk some baseball at 9:35. Paulie tried to get him to come on early, but he didn't want to come on that early.
He's moving. And he's going to carve out some time for us.
That's nice of him.
He goes, yeah, the Wi-Fi is not getting connected until later in the day, so I can do a phone call. I can't do Zoom. I was like, dude, no problem.
No worries. Brandon, it'd be fun to catch up with him.
Brandon in the chat said, hey, Schulte, who's your favorite person to talk to on the bench? Must be Camposano. That would be a really roundabout way of asking Schulte, what's the plan with Campy?
I don't know if that's more of an AJ question
at this point, honestly, than a
Schulte question. But those are our guests. We'll move the Rindle Report up to 8:30 since we have two guests in our 9 o'clock hour. Regular features as well, including Don't Do This and Take on Woods coming up at 8:20 this morning. That will be one of our giveaways, chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. We also have more Padres tickets and more George Lopez tickets to give away. We finally reached Friday. Kelly's still working. We're good. It's Ben and Woods. We'll come back and we'll take a look ahead what the Padres are going to have to do to manage their way through another stretch of 13 games in 13 days, Woods, that starts today. Just finished one. Let's start another one tonight in Arizona. We'll get into that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But on this Father's Day weekend, a lot of graduations going on right now. You can celebrate dads and grads. How about a new car, a new truck? I've always dreamed of walking out to the driveway, and there's the dream, right? The brand new truck out there with a big bow on it. Celebrate dads and grads all month long with my friends over at Manny Sedano Ford in La Mesa, just 15 minutes from wherever you are. These June offers are the real deal. The Ford F-150 STX Super Crew Cab, powerful, dependable, ready for anything, $299 a month. And for the hardworking grads out there, the Ford Bronco Big Ben, just $271 a month. Or go all electric with the 2024 Mustang Mach-E Select. All style, no gas, just $157 a month. Support San Diego, support local. Visit Sedano Ford in La Mesa, one of San Diego's largest inventories, or start online at SedanoFord.com. Don't forget to tell them Woodsy sent you over. More details on these offers can be found at SedanoFord.com.
Odyssey colleague Pat Boyle taking some shots at Aztec J.J. Spawn.
Oh, you mean Dodger lover J.J. Spawn?
I saw that yesterday, too.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
His yardage book has a little Dodgers cover. Now, he grew up, up in Corona,
San Dimas.
San Dimas, yeah, up in the Inland Empire-y area of Los Angeles, and then came down to San Diego State. Made a good decision to get out of there and come down to San Diego, but never gave up his Dodger ties to become a Padres fan.
He's what we call an Aztec for 4 years instead of Aztec for life.
that's an interesting one. You came here and you gave your all for San Diego State. That's awesome. And then to see Ben was talking about him yesterday. Oh, it's really cool. And then I saw one of the Dodger reporters. Oh, here's Dodger fan J.J. Spahn. I go, oh, hope you get an 8 on the next hole, pal.
They're out there for sure.
Max Homa, huge Dodger honk as well. So
JJ, you do a great job.
Yeah, JJ, you do a great job.
He'll tee off at 9:52 this morning. There's only 7 players left who are still under par, and probably that number will keep going down as the day goes on. Brooks Koepka, 2 back at 2 under. He's through 7 holes this morning.
That dude loves a U.S. Open.
He does love a U.S. Open.
My God. He loves a U.S. Open.
He is. He's built for the U.S.
Open.
He
really is.
Victor Hovland, 1 under, 2 under today. He's got under par. Colin Morikawa is even. John Rahm is at even after a 1 over start through his first 5 holes today. So, quick U.S. Open update. What did you think of the roundtable yesterday? I know you're mad when I save couple of topics for the roundtable. We talked a little bit about the Dodger fan invasion. I don't think there was a big deal, that a Padres fan show up when they need to show up. And if it, every once in a while the Dodgers represent down at Petco Park,
I mean, I would want
it's going
to
happen.
I would want to come to Petco Park too if I was a Dodger
fan. Thought,
I would.
I thought Paulie made a great point when we were talking about it that the culture is shifting, but it takes time now.
Yeah.
Now everyone is indoctrinated into being a Padres fan, but they weren't 20, 30 years ago. You're Southern California, Dodgers just owned kind of the whole market, and unless you were a really, came from a Padres fan family like I did, you gravitated toward the Dodgers. But now everyone's gravitating toward the Padres, but it takes a generation now to really kick it into high gear.
Well, I mean, think about the Dodgers in the, after what they won the World Series in 88, they were bad. They were bad for a long time, and that stadium didn't sell out. There wasn't people beating their chest. When they started filling up Dodger Stadium again and getting mouthy? When they started to win again. When they started to win division titles. And that'll do it. And if it happens here, you absolutely, and now what they've done in Japan, very smart. They own the whole country of Japan as far as baseball goes. And that's a smart marketing play. And obviously they got great players from there too. It's not like these guys are scrubs, in Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani, certainly. But, they're a global brand, certainly. And the Padres, we've all said it in the last, we're going to go to Philly together here in a couple weeks. You can rest assured, you're not only going to see Padre fans that traveled, you're going to see Philly fans that love Jackson Merrill and love the kids, love Fernando Tatis Jr. It just takes time, and most importantly, it takes winning. You got to win. People are front runners. They just are. That's how it goes. Your team starts winning, you start getting, you wanting to support them more. The diehards like you, Ben, that grew up here, and you had your... You had your couple of guys that you're like, hell yeah, I'm going to go watch Tony. I'm going to go watch Trevor. I'm going to go watch Khalil Green. I'm going to go watch Kent Caminiti. And you had some good teams in that time, too.
Couple
sprinkled in.
Yeah, they were too few and far between to really build a diehard fan base.
It wasn't as consistent as the Dodgers have been in the last few years. So, it makes sense to me. It didn't bug me at all. The Shohei effect, too. I mean, I was there with Bo on Wednesday. The huge Japanese contingent of fans that were just giddy. And that actually, weirdly, made me happy. I saw these little kids getting excited to see the kids right behind me. They were little. They're like Bo's age. And, dude, when he walked out on deck, Mom, it's Shohei! I'm like, all right, little turd. But, I get it. So, yeah, the Dodgers weren't great for a while. And they had to build it back up. They went bankrupt. They got bailed out by Major League Baseball. Things are working out well for them now, but if the Padres stay stay like this, like Jesse Agler calls it, the golden era of Padres baseball. He's right. I mean, as frustrating as they are and as many holes as we have, this has been awesome to cover. I mean, it's been incredible to cover.
Yeah, because as you know, pointed out, when you go to school like Jersey Day, that, you know, everyone's wearing Padres now. So as those kids start getting older and have families of their own, they're going to create more Padres fans in the decades to come. And we didn't really have that pipeline going as much, you know, over the past 30 years or so.
It's crazy how it works out, though, like generationally, because, yeah, like you got to think about people that are having, you know, young adults that are having kids like in their early 30s to late 30s, even into early 40s. Like, what were the Padres doing when they were kids? Because that's kind of how it's going to develop your fanhood for life, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
The formative years.
Like, that's right.
People in 20 years that are young kids now, growing up watching this era of Padres baseball, they're going to raise Padres fans.
Yeah, I mean, think about if you're, you know, you live in Denver and you have a kid and he's four and he loves baseball and he's watching the Rockies and you're a Rockies fan because you grew up there too. I mean, who's he fired up about? You know, who's the guy that's getting, Dad, I want to go see Ryan McMahon play? No, I mean, there's no, you need stars on your team. Not only do you need stars, they have to be interesting. They have to be in the news. They have to win games. It's really important. So, you know, credit where credit is due.
You also have to capitalize on that, because the Giants won three World Series titles and had a number of big stars, you know, during that era on their pitching staff, Buster Posey. But now they don't really have those stars that are driving. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to see, I think, you know, a little bit more of a struggle with attendance. Obviously, they've got a decent team, but I don't feel like they were able to keep that momentum going from the early 2010s when they were so good. You know, they haven't been bad necessarily since then.
It's weird to see Oracle Park not totally full.
Right. You know, you can lose it as well. And that's an important lesson, I think, for, you know, Padres ownership. Like, yeah, it's going great now, and you keep investing in the team. You can't just stop all of a sudden, though, and expect the fan base to just ride with you for, you know, 10 bleak years until they turn it around. You can get away with an off year or two here or there, but you need to keep the pipeline of fun players, stars, and, you know, winning competitive teams going for the most part if you want to keep this rolling. The other conversation we had was about Randy Vasquez, and that one turned out pretty interesting as well.
It got a little spicy there.
I suggested, is this a good time for AJ Preller to perhaps approach Randy Vasquez about a contract extension? You know, before it gets really expensive, you got 2 years of team control left, but you don't have any pitchers other than Yu Darvish, who's going to be in his 40s, locked up beyond the 2027 season, which is not that far away. We're in 2025 here. There's a big uncertainty about where the Padres are going to get their starting pitching going forward. Nick Pivetta can opt out after next year. Obviously, Dylan Cease, Michael King are both free agents after this year. Where are you going to get your starting pitching? You know, Joe Musgrove is a free agent after 2027. Where is that starting pitching coming from? And who do you believe in? Randy Vasquez, Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolek, that you feel like could be at least a member of your starting rotation toward the end of this decade rather than right here and right now?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, certainly. And I think, you know, that was fine. And I think, you know, anytime you can lock up starting pitchers and you think you can get a good deal, because, it, you know, the number you threw out there, Benny, I was like, I think he scoffs at $6 million, you know, $6 million a year for a starting pitcher in the big leagues, a reliable one at that, you know, reliable in that he takes the ball and.
I think he will if you let him get to the end of the season and he makes, you know, makes every start.
Yeah.
And, you know, puts up a, you know, 3.8 ERA.
Yeah, then, even a 4.1 ERA. Yeah,
then you're not going to get him. But right now, you know, when he's only been kind of a part member of the starting rotation for, you know, maybe one season here, you could think about a more team-friendly deal at this moment, but you're also taking a big risk. Is Randy Vasquez someone who's going to continue to improve?
Is $6 million a year even a big risk in baseball? But I think that number's way off. I don't know I don't know really what the comp would be for him, but I know guys, I know starting pitchers get paid. That's one thing I do know. You know, you got guys making a ton of cash out there that are reliable starting pitchers. They're threes, they're fours, they're fives.
He's making the minimum right now, yeah. 772, 800, or close to the minimum.
Crazy. So he's going to want to get paid.
He'll get a raise. I mean, he's still pre-arb, actually, yeah, for the next couple of years. So
there's no need to do that right now.
I mean, you don't have to do it right away, but you could think about doing something that was team-friendly if you thought that he is... It was more of a jumping off point. Do you see him as part of the future for the San Diego Padres pitching rotation? Because it's time to start identifying who is part of that future pitching. Because you can't just buy a rotation anymore. Unless you're the Dodgers or the Yankees, and even those teams, that's a risky strategy to go, we're going five free agents in pitching. Because when pitchers get to free agency, they're so expensive, and you get a Corbin Burns situation, and all of a sudden you're paying for nothing for almost 2 years because they get hurt. You have to, more than position players, which you can buy and you can rent for a year. Pitching, you have to develop.
Yeah, man.
And Padres don't have a lot of it right now in the system, pitching-wise.
They had three guys yesterday that started in the minor leagues. I think they all struck out 10 or more. So they're working on it, right? The Braden Nets and the got Burgerts come up through that. Like, there's guys down there that are pitching well. But, yeah, I mean, it obviously, if you can get controllable cheap pitching over it, the other way you got to go to is maybe the more expensive AAV but shorter contracts. You know, getting locked into these long-term deals on pitching is tough. And it scares the crap out of some teams.
I thought about that during the roundtable yesterday when Ben was kind of setting up the question. He didn't give any terms of an example contract yet, but in my head I started, like, I'm looking at our chat, East County Chris, am I the only one who doesn't really like signing pitchers to long-term deals anymore? They just get hurt. And I thought the exact same thing. My initial reaction was like, I'm kind of sick of anything more than like a three-year contract for pitchers right now.
Yeah.
But then when you throw out 4 for 24, I'm like, well, yeah, I'd sign up for that.
It's like, if you could get, and somebody in the chat said, Wandy makes $4 million a year. No way Randy's making six. It's a very good point you make.
Yep.
Man, it's a tough one. So, yeah. He's done.
Don't they have about the same ERA? I mean,
well, one's a starter.
Well, yeah. But, yeah,
one's a starter. One takes the ball every fifth day in the rotation. And again, Randy Vasquez has been very, very serviceable. Very, very serviceable. Done everything they've asked him to do. So I don't know, man. I like, if you can get a good deal on a pitcher that's durable, great. You know, you got to do it. You got to do it every time. But you're right. They do. As I said on the roundtable, we are all, the fans too, we're under the luxury of being able to.
You've got control over Randy for a while, so it's not urgent. I'm just saying, you need to start identifying pitchers who are going to be in your rotation after the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, or the next couple of years. And we're under the luxury of being able to watch every game, and we need to win tonight. They have to be thinking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. What's that look like? So, yeah, man, I think you have to look at options like that.
All right, here we go into another Padres series with the back end of the rotation starting today and tomorrow in Arizona. We'll take a look ahead at what the Padres are facing in Phoenix after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I did like, I respected Chris Ello's point, you know, saying, no, I don't want to extend a guy that is only going to be a 4 2/3 inning guy. And, you know, I do think that was the game against the Dodgers. Again, I think it's weighted a little bit differently. Not that it means more than one or one win if you win, but it does, Ben. They have the dirtiest lineup. Like, I had no problem with Mike Schilt going to Adrian Morejon there after 4 2/3 from Randy. You did your job there, more than did your job. Kept us right there, 1-1 game. Had no problem with it. You know, I did hear a couple of takes of like, man, Randy needs to be out there for another 40 pitches. Against that lineup, Randy needs to earn that. The third time through the lineup hits 370 off of him. So if you want that, you're going to have to earn that opportunity to be able to go deeper into games.
And, I mean, he was throwing well until that pitch to Conforto. You know, he was throwing well. He was even getting some swing and miss and, you know, got a couple past Shohei Ohtani.
He was
looking good.
It was driving Dodger fans crazy on Twitter. They were going nuts. Like, this guy is like the worst metrics in baseball and we can't hit him. He had them a little bit out in front and he had them a little bit behind. He was mixing his pitches really well. But again, if I'm Shilton, I've got a rested bullpen and a day off, 100% I'm going to be aggressive there.
So here we go again. First two games against Arizona tonight and tomorrow. And you've got Steven Kolek and Ryan Burkert on the mound. And really, you haven't gotten a bad start from either one of them. Kolek had the one where he gave up six in the first, but battled back and got the win that game. So it's hard to call that a bad start. You know, otherwise, they have kept you in games. They've, you know, pitched in some wins. They've gotten the job done as your 4 and 5. Two guys that had no idea if they were going to be contributors to the San Diego Padres this year. You know, Kolek had a good spring, didn't make the starting rotation, but you saw some promise there. Berger, you know, was not really totally on my radar at the beginning of the year, but he's been the one that stepped up and has incredibly valuable innings and appearances here the last couple of times through the rotation for the San Diego Padres. How many times how many times can you keep that wheel going without the bottom falling out with the back of your rotation?
Can't every team say that? Almost every
That's true.
No, every team. Can't every team say, whew, man, I feel like we're
playing just with fire.
We're gutting it out. We're playing with fire. You know, I think every team in baseball looks at it and goes, geez, man, I'm crossing my fingers that our 3-4-5 or our 4-5 or our 5, you know, gets it done tonight. But right now, man, Ryan Burkert has been really, really good in his very limited action with the San Diego Padres, Benny. And, you know, he's earned the right to grab another start or two until one of these guys comes back off the IL, if that ever happens. So I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to watch Kolek pitch. I feel like he's learning, getting better. This is a good lineup they're going to be facing. They score a lot of runs. They hit home runs. It's going to be a tough one.
So Kolek is making his 8th start tonight of the season. In 4 of them already, he has not given up a run. That's more than half of his starts.
Pretty
he has not given
now.
Up a run. Now, he had a little stretch there where it was a little rougher against the Mariners, the Blue Jays, and that game against the Marlins that they came back and won. But outside of that 3-game stretch, first two, no runs. Last two, no runs allowed by Steven Kolek.
Good.
So, you know, they'll be asking a lot. His ERA is now 3. He's 3-1 with a 3 ERA. Not a team in baseball that wouldn't take that out of their
heartbeat,
number 4 or 5 starter at the back end of the rotation. Not a friendly pitching environment at Chase Field tonight. And the Arizona Diamondbacks, another good offensive team that the Padres are going up against. Their path to victory is to kind of bludgeon you to death with their deep lineup. And they've got guys who have hit for power this season. Their pitching has been the big sticking point with not only the Burns injury, but the Zach Gallen has not been pitching the way, Cy Young type pitchers, you know, you expect them to throw. Merrill Kelly's been pretty good. He's going on Sunday. Gallen is going tomorrow. You got Ryan Nelson today, though. But Padres have had trouble with all sorts of Arizona Diamondbacks pitchers, and in that building in particular, over the years, it's not been the friendliest place for the Padres.
Yeah, you know, where the Padres are really good at preventing runs, not so good at scoring runs. Padres have scored 279 runs, but they've allowed 255. Diamondbacks have scored 346 runs this year. I'm sorry. Yeah, 346 runs. They've allowed 350. So not great defense, not great pitching. Lines up okay for the Pods. Again, like, what are we expecting?
But can they outslug a team?
Correct.
You haven't really seen.
But they can. They, if you limit the slugging team to not slugging and play your defense and play your way of baseball. Look, they've been winning games like they've been scratching out wins. I don't expect them to come in and club the starting pitchers for the Diamondbacks to death. The bullpen, they can get to, absolutely. But our guys have been good at preventing runs. So you just hope that trend continues because you got the Dodgers after that. So
you're not going to see, 1-0, 2-0, though, likely over the next 3 days at Chase Field.
I wouldn't guess you would, but. Then again, could be 1-0 tonight. You have no idea.
I mean, baseball's baseball, so it's unexpected. But that would shock me. You know, Arizona's going to find a way to put some runs on the board. Can the Padres find a way to win a 6-4 game occasionally?
Yeah.
Because they haven't been winning those. They won an 11-0 game, but when they won close, it's been 2-0 and 3-2 and 3-0. When they win, you know, they lose those games where it seems like 8-7 against the Dodgers earlier this week. All right, we'll come back. Padres did get some unexpected help in the NL West last night. We'll talk more baseball, get you ready for hour number two ahead here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.